This morning, this is one of those that I almost had to flip a coin to see, because God was dealing with me in a couple of different ways, and they may all blend together, and so we won't have a message tonight. But I was literally at a point of flipping a coin almost, thinking, God, which is it that you want me to share? And so what I do is I do what God has given me, and I go and I talk to my wife. And she is my spiritual sounding board, and so she shares back with me what she's hearing, and that's not even close to what I'm thinking. So I realize God is using her to help direct me, and so such a blessing to have that opportunity. And so, Donis, I want to say thanks on top of that. So this week, as I was praying over this message, it was on and off all week, but this is the message I feel like this morning after hearing the song service. I know this is where we're supposed to be, and it was just made clear this morning early and then again during the song service. So we are going to be in Psalm 105, so if you want to turn there. And I come with this message this morning as guilty always as anybody, and it's one of those things where, as Christians, we feel like there are things that the Bible tells us to do, and we know that. But we also look at it sometimes as, well, this is what God tells us to do, but He knows we're human, and so we really can't do that. And we use that escape clause, that our human nature escape clause, and we say, well, you know, God tells us to do these things, or His Word tells us to do these things, but are we really supposed to do these? Is this something that I am supposed to do every single day of my life? And as we go into this psalm, this is a psalm that was written, and whether it was written by David or whether it was encouraged by David to be written, it really comes down to, yes, it was written to the children of Israel, and it was written to them and telling them of everything that God has done for you. This is what I want you to do for me. And so as we go into this passage, understand that, yes, we're not the children of Israel. We are the New Testament church, but God has done so much for us. God has constantly delivered us. God has constantly healed us. He's blessed us. He's touched us. He's guided us. He's loved us. And so if we look, there's eight things. And like I said, I don't always ask you to take notes, but there's eight things here that I would recommend that you take notes on, these eight things. I think they'll even fit on the back of your bulletin. But there's eight things that we neglect, I believe, in this passage, just in the first five verses, there's eight things that they are imperative that we do these things, because they are to be done not in front of the church and not in front of other Christians, but in front of what they called in the scripture, in front of the people or in front of the nations or in front of the lost, really is what it comes down to. So if you read along with me, says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, and His miracles and the judgment He uttered." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we open Your Word this morning and as we read this psalm, we know that it was written at a time to people that You loved and You protected, but yet they turned unfaithful. And Lord, I pray that You forgive me for the times that I have been unfaithful. Lord, but I want to look at this morning the way You show it to me. I want to learn. I want You to fill this place with Your Spirit and show us what it is You have for us today. Lord, equip us to live the life that You deserve, the life that You desire. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity you set before me this morning. You hide me behind the angel. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look at this short five verses, Psalm 105 and 106 are paired together the way 103 and 104 are paired together. But I didn't want to go into the rest of the passage because I think we will either get done really early if I get to talking too fast, or I will have to cram it all in at the end. It's just one of those things to see where God's going to take this. But if we look at this, these things are not suggestions. They can actually be written, and if they were written to you from your spouse, you think, man, they're being a little bossy. They're kind of telling me what to do. But this is written in this language, in this poetic language. It's written kind of, if you can, a little bossy but polite. You know what I mean? You had somebody tell you something, it's like, you know, you need to do this. But you know why they're telling you is because it's for your best interest. You know, and if you get past the, well, I can't believe they're telling me what to do, to understanding that they're trying to help you out. That's the way this is written. And so as we look at this, I want to look at the first one, which is obvious. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Well, that's pretty basic. We do that all the time. When we sit down at a meal, we pray and give thanks. Or at the end of the day, we pray and we thank God for things. But we look at it as, from the time you're a little kid or when you had little kids, you know, I stand out here in the back and I hand out suckers to the little kids. And one of the things that the parents always tell them, what do you say? And they say, thank you. And that's our way of being polite. That is great. We are supposed to do that. But we look at it, this, I think, in a bigger picture. I'm not just thanking God for everything that He's done, but I am thanking God for just who He is. Because if it comes down to God gave me a sucker and I thank Him, what happens when I don't get a sucker? I've never had a kid come by and I'm out of suckers. Well, thank you. It's never happened. Don't look for it to happen. But you know what? I think about that and I think, that's the way I am with God. When something happens, when He blesses my life, when something comes along and I know it's a nudge from God or it's a light that He has given me and I know He's sharing His love with me, man, I am quick to thank Him, and you are too. But on those days when that's not there, I'm still waiting. I know it's coming. I know He's faithful. I know it's going to be there. Sometimes those days, I'm not so thankful. And so sometimes it's like that sucker for us. We thank Him when we see something that is there. But for us, give thanks to the Lord. There is no give thanks to the Lord when. Now, there are other times in the Bible that it says that. But this is not an option. This is not something that it says, well, when God does something good, give Him thanks. It says, enter His courts with thanksgiving. And that's how you enter into His courts, is with thanksgiving. Come in with that thankful, grateful heart and give Him what He truly deserves. In Psalm 50, it says, to offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Do you ever think about when you're thanking God that that is a sacrifice? I mean, you look back through the Bible and all the things that were sacrifices, from animals all the way up through and pointing to Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Do you look at your thanksgiving as a sacrifice that glorifies God? The one who offers thanksgiving is a sacrifice, glorifies me. Just to thank Him. It's not something that we just sit back and choose to do. It should be part of our relationship. It should be a part of the way we are showing our love for Him. Not because of what He's done, but because of who He is. And so let's look at, or before I go on, because this one really, it hit me this week. God is a God that deserves praise and thanksgiving. And we'll get into some of those other things that He calls us to do. But if you don't do it, and I don't do it, do you think the lost are going to do it? But like I said, this is a passage that is telling people of God to give thanks before other people. In other words, when other people are watching. And I've been at restaurants before, and somebody will bow their, another table will bow their head to pray, and you can look at other tables and see them just like, do people still do that? But we are to thank God in front of other people. Everything we talk about this morning is supposed to be in front of other people. Now, that's not why we do it, but because it's a part of our life, it is done before other people. And it is done so that they will see and glorify God. He goes on and he says, call upon His name. Well, then, as Christians, all of us have done that. And when a bad situation comes or things are happening or somebody, you know, you get that phone call and it says, hey, I need you to pray for, and you do, and we think, I'm going to call upon His name and ask Him to move in this situation. And that's true. That's one way of calling on His name. But what it's actually talking about here is when I call on His name, I'm truly submitting to His will. It says, call on His name. And when I step before God, when I kneel before God and I put myself at the throne room of God and I become ready to ask Him for a situation or direction or understanding, I truly should be saying in my heart, God, I want to be submissive to Your will. And I want You to show me what Your will is. I'm praying for this. I'm asking for this. But I truly want to submit to whatever it is. It may not line up with my will, but I want to submit myself. Every time we come to Him, whether we're asking, whatever we're doing, we should be submitting ourselves to His will. It's not just that original time when I call on Him or when I need Him like a vending machine. It is when I'm willing to come before Him and submit myself because of the price He paid. Because of everything He did. Now, another thing, this should be something that's audible. Now, what are you talking about? This is something that when I call on Him, yes, if I'm going to go and I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray quietly. But if you stop and think, if you looked it up in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament, that when they would say they called on the Lord, it was always audible. When Saul began to persecute people, it was because he heard them audibly. He found them audibly. He found them living audibly, if that makes sense. It was not something that, yeah, I'm sure he bust into some houses and he found people there, but they're living it out. For us, we should be calling on Him audibly. Not just, you know, I'm going to pray for that person, and you're under our voice. How long has it been since you have literally prayed or submitted yourself to God's will in front of the lost? It's real easy to do here in a Sunday school room, in a Bible study. It's easy for me to do here. But I'm supposed to call on Him in front of other people, in front of the lost. Now, this is getting uncomfortable for me. I don't know about you guys, but this is getting uncomfortable for me because I figure if they wanted to hear it, they would come here on Sunday morning if they wanted to hear me preach. But God is saying, if you want to express your love for me, then you give thanks and you be willing to call on me in front of anybody and everybody. Be willing to speak up. Be willing to live out your relationship in front of everybody out there. Now, if I'm going to live out my relationship in front of Kay, Kay sees it. Kay knows it. Kay probably doesn't need it. She might get encouragement out of something I do, but that's something a Christian does. But what about that lost person that's going through things like I'm going through, and they see me or they hear me call on God or submit my life to God's will and then turn it over to Him? That's something they don't understand. That's something they don't realize. And they're not going to see it lived out unless you and I do that. And He's calling us here to call on His name. Then the third one He goes to, He says, make known His deeds among the people. Make known His deeds among the people. I can remember years ago, we'd have testimony times and people would testify as what God was doing. And it's not a bad thing, but it's one of those things where if a person, every time I come in, I testify on April 7th, Jesus Christ, I came and I surrendered my life to Him. And the next time we give testimonies, well, on April 7th, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. If that's the only testimony I can think of, then what's God doing in my life today? What wondrous deeds is He doing in your life? Man, we come on Sunday nights, and that's how we start our Sunday night services. I'll be down here, and I'll ask people, we'll pray, and I'll say, okay, what's God doing? Somebody give God praises, and we'll share some praises as we start our Sunday night service. I'm going to go back to this last part. It says, make known His deeds among the peoples, not among the church. How long has it been since you sat at the coffee shop with a group of people or at the ball game with a group of people and you literally started telling them, man, this is what God has done for me? And I'm not talking about in our closed groups, in our groups of where it's all Christians, because this says among the peoples, among the nations, among the lost, we are supposed to make known His deeds. Tell them what He has done. That's what I first thought when I read this. Okay, so I'm supposed to tell the lost people what God has done in my life. That's not all it says. It says make known. I have been in the classroom as a student, as a substitute teacher, and just sat back and watching. And you can tell somebody something, but that doesn't mean they know what you're talking about. To make known is going to take effort on your part. And yes, sometimes I can say it once and somebody will know it. But there's other times that I can say something over and over and over, but until I take and I do something differently, I've never really made it known. I've just kind of thrown the information out there. He says, make known My deeds among the peoples. This, again, is not something that we are just recommended to do. Oh, you should live your life in front of them so that they can see. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans that men is without excuse because of the creation of God. They know He's alive. They know He's real. They know He's the Creator. But here He tells us to make known to those people. That's another way we express our love for Him. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him and tell of His wondrous works. I love coming in here, and I like sitting on the front row because then nobody's in front of me, and so I'm way over here. And so if anybody, I'm singing to anybody. I'm singing to Ed, maybe Drew. Everybody else can't, you know, I'm not singing right to them. And sometimes we're in a group, we can blend. We'll sing a little bit in a big group, but I'm not going to get up there and sing with one or two people because you'll hear me. And we start thinking about singing to people. It's not what it's talking about. It's saying, sing to Him. Sing your praises to Him. Yes, He knows everything that's going on. He knows what your heart is. He knows how how you feel, how you're thankful. He knows all of those things before you say a word. But it says, sing to Him, sing praises to Him. How long has it been since you just did not think about anything or anybody, and you just started singing His praises to Him in front of the people? Whoa. It's one thing for me to sing in my office, you know, if Melissa's not there, that she won't hear me and nobody else is around. I can sing, you know, or maybe in the back room I might sing when nobody's around. But I'm supposed to sing praises to God in front of other people? And not just you guys that are Christians that love the same God I love, but to people that don't even know who God is, people that don't love God. I am to sing His praises to Him in front of them. Too many times, I think we have this attitude that when we're praying or we're singing, we're worried about the people around us. And my prayer becomes something that I want you to hear. I want to reinforce my prayer, so I'm going to pray my sermon over again so that you hear it a third time or a fourth time. I'm going to sing God's praises so that you hear them. No, I'm supposed to sing God's praises to Him. And then everything else will fall into place. If I'm singing my praises to Him when He desires me to, when He gives me that notion to, when He gives me that opportunity to, then whoever's around will know that I'm not singing praises to them. I'm singing praises to my God. Wilma gets on to me every now and then, not really, but she's like, "Steve, this is a Baptist church and you're really close to dancing up there." And that happens because I don't care who's watching. Because I'm not singing to you. And I'm not saying that to point that out. I'm just saying that we need to make sure that when we sing and we praise Him. Yes, we can praise Him for all the things He's done, and we can acknowledge those things before people, and I believe we're supposed to. But in this passage, He is saying, I want you to live out in front of other people, and one of the things you do while you live out in front of other people is to praise Me. I don't care what you sound like. I'm listening to your heart. That's what He desires, is for your heart to praise Him. So sing praises to Him. The next one, glory in His holy name. Glory in His holy name. Well, what does that really mean? How do we glory in His holy name? He is the God of the universe. He is the great I Am. There was a philosophical person one time that said, I believe if I get this right, I think, therefore I am, something along that line. God blew that away and He said, I am that I am. He is the God of the universe. He is the Creator of all things. And He has taken and He has given His Spirit inside us as Christians. And so that Spirit inside me should reflect the glory and the honor of my God to Him. We were talking on Wednesday night, I think it was last week, about the candlestick that Zechariah talks about and how it's filled with oil. And this fancy candlestick had been formed, and when they lit the light, the oil actually reflected the beauty of the candlestick. Until that light was lit, you couldn't see how beautiful the candlestick was. But because that oil, because that representative of the Spirit went out, it reflected back on the candlestick. When God places His Spirit in you and me, then what happens is the way I live my life should reflect glory to the candlestick. That's where we're at. His glory, the things that He's done, the things we praise Him for, our lives should reflect that glory. It's like looking in a mirror. That's scary for some of us. But when you look at that mirror and it reflects that image, my image is when I see it, I see a guy that in my mind does not look anything like what I see in the mirror. but it truly reflects the image. You and I are supposed to reflect the image of God. We are Christians. We are little Christ. We are Christ-like. That's what He calls us to be. And so when they hold up the mirror, it should reflect the image of God, which should bring Him glory. But too many times when the world holds up that mirror in front of me, they see Steve. They need to see His glory. So when I reflect and I glorify in His name, it puts that glory back on Him. Verse 3 goes on, it says, "Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." We know that verse in Philippians says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Be happy. Hey, well, I'm happy everything's going good, but when everything's not going good, man, the situation I'm going through, the things I'm having to put up with, the stress, whatever it happens to be that you're dealing with, it's hard to be joyous. It doesn't say to be joyous in the situation you're dealing with. But you're going to express your love for Him by rejoicing in Him. No matter what I face, no matter what I deal with, I know the bottom line is when I take my last breath, I will spend eternity with Him in heaven. And I can rejoice in that. I can live and I can joy in the fact that God as my Savior loves me every day, every second of every day of my life. Every breath I have, that song said just a minute ago, and I started to sing it wrong. I said something about He gives me breath. No, He lends you breath. Because it belongs to Him. Every breath you have, He can take away. And so I need to give that back to Him and be joyful in it and rejoice in the Lord. And again, this is not an option. And I'm to rejoice in the Lord before other people. And sometimes we just feel like, yeah, hey, you know, this happened, something terrible, your house caught on fire, whatever. You bite your lip and you go through and everything's okay. Boy, He's really handling that well. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't just get through a situation. Rejoice in the Lord. Give God the glory through those things. Next, in verse 4, he says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually." You know, when you start dating someone and you realize that God has placed them in your life and you have desired to spend the rest of your life with them, if you could say, well, I sought to spend time with them. Did you really seek to spend time with them? Yeah, everything when you got up, everything you thought was, how can I spend? I've got this class, and as soon as I get out of this class, I can go see Donis here. And then when I eat lunch, I'll see Donis there. And then I'll have to go to two or three classes, and then I'll see Donis. Then I'll have to go to baseball practice, and then I'll see Donis. Everything, I planned out my day that I could see Donis. I was doing everything I could to spend as much time with her as possible. That's what it means to seek God's presence. Do everything you can to spend as much time mentally thinking and speaking and walking with Him. There are other things that He's placed us to do in this life that we have to do. But too many times we just stick God in where He fits. That's not what He's calling us to do. He's calling us to seek His presence. Seek His strength. You can't get through without it. You cannot get enough of Him. You cannot get too much of Him. Seek the Lord. Do everything you can to spend time in His presence continually, it says. And then the last one. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. His miracles and the judgments He's uttered. Now, as you look at this, all of these things are ways that we express our love for Him. We give thanks to Him. We call upon Him or submit to His will. We make known to other people We are to sing praises to Him. We are to glorify in His name. We are to rejoice. We're to seek Him. And then this last one says, remember His works. I guarantee you, if you could sit here for just a second and look back and just focus on remembering when Jesus Christ came into your heart, when you come to the point of understanding, I need a Savior, and there's one there that loves me, and He wants to forgive me. If you remember back to that point when that happened in your life, how does that change your attitude right now? And so if you go through the day, if I go through the day remembering the wondrous works, the times that God has lifted me up, the times that God has spoken to me in such a way that it just felt like the clouds opened up and I was the only one and He was talking to me. However you remember God's wondrous works, when you remember them, how do you feel? What does that place your attitude like? How does that help you to live? To remember the wondrous works of God will change your life. But remember, we're doing this in front of other people. And so the way that you remember, the way that you acknowledge, the way that you share, the way you rejoice, the way you sing, all of these things express our love to Him. And there are things that you and I take for granted. You know, we have those things in our life that we always say, man, I had to do this today. I had to do that today. Or, man, this week I have to do this. It's coming down to the deadline. I have to do this. And then years later, something in that situation is gone. And all of a sudden you say, man, I wish I could do that again. And I can remember when I was in high school, they'd get us out on a football field or the baseball field or some basketball court, and we would just run for days and days and days, it seemed like, on that basketball floor. And I think, man, I've got to go run today. Right now, I'd give anything if I could run like that. You know what I mean? But there's so many times we look at this stuff like that. It's like, well, I have to thank Him. I have to. No, you get to. That's a privilege. The lost cannot do this. The lost do not have this opportunity to praise Him, to thank Him, to glorify in His name, to rejoice in who He is, to sing praises to Him. They don't have that opportunity. And sometimes the reason they don't have that opportunity is because I'm not living in front of the people. I do pretty good in our building. I do pretty good in my office. I do pretty good in my home. And there's places where I do pretty good. But when He says, do that in front of the people, show your love for Me in front of the people. And that's really what it comes down to. Is if you love Me, live for Me in front of the people. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and His judgments He uttered. Live out your love for Him so that the world can see. And there may be people here today, or maybe people listening, that say, I can't do that. Or you may be sitting here saying, I don't do that very well. I can't do all eight of those things. I don't really know much about God. Well, I'm going to ask you to do three of them. Call on Him. Submit to His will. Glorify in Him. Acknowledge who He is. And seek Him. Because He says, seek Me while I may be found by you. That's all you have to do. Call on Him. Say, God, I can't do all these things. That doesn't make sense to me. That's just eight things that the pastor stood up there and said, go do this. And I don't have the slightest idea how to do it. Call on Him. Acknowledge who He is and what He's done. And then seek Him to see what He has for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day and this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, as I sit here and this whole week, I've looked at this list. And I've not been very faithful to this list. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help me to live the way you desire me to live. Help me to make it real every single day of my life. God, if I have to write down a list and check it off, help me to do that. Help me to do something to understand what I need to do, Lord, to glorify you more and to live in front of other people that they might come to know you. Lord, I praise you for who you are and how much you love me. God, help me love you more. Move in this place, Lord, I pray. In your mighty name, amen.